I'm speaking today with Patty Quintana Nielsen, who is running for State Board of Education in District 6. Patty, first question I'd like to ask, why are you running for this office?
Well, I've been working in education for 15 years, and I know what our kids are getting and what they're not getting, and I don't think that it's a secret between what education is giving our children and what actually they need in the real world. So, tired of it, and I want to do something about it.
Tell me a little bit about your background in education.
I teach a career and technical education course. I teach media. I teach filmmaking and commercial photography. And career and technical education used to be called vocational education. But basically, it gives kids a head start in life. It gives them an opportunity to learn real-world skills so that when they go to college, whether they choose to or not, they actually have some skills and don't have to relegate themselves to flipping hamburgers, so that they can actually, in my case, kids would work in a broadcast TV station or work for a newspaper or possibly work as a commercial photographer, writing blogs, shooting photographs, that kind of thing, and be able to work their way in college,
and
through
where,
college.
Where is it that you work?
I work at the Guthrie Center in Spring Ranch ISD.
Okay. And
it is a public school.
Okay. What is your view of, you know, what the current status of the State Board of Education, and what would you like to do? What would be your priorities if you're elected to the State Board?
I think it's difficult to state one priority because there's just so many things wrong with the system. I work really closely with kids every day, and everything from drugs in our schools and teenage pregnancy to getting down to curricular things that our kids are not getting. I'd like to see more career and technical education courses. I'd like to see our students graduate from high school with something in their hand, a real skill, whether it's managing their own finances, whether it's HISD is implementing a new program right now where they're teaching students how to run operation plants, like a big petrochemical plants in Bay City and in Baytown. Not to say that kids are getting educated so that this is what they do in life, but it gives kids options. I think we're one of the only countries in the world where kids can go to school for 12 years and graduate with the ability to do nothing, and then they can go to college for 4 more years and graduate with, you know, $50,000, $80,000 of debt and have the ability to do very little. So I'd like to see more real-world courses. Again, I'd like to do something about the drugs in our schools. And I see that because I teach high school. And you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Okay.
It's just very sad.
Sadly, I might not be surprised. But be that as it may, you know, one of the main functions of the State Board, of course, is related to curriculum and textbooks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There was just a report that came out by the Fordham Institute that gave the state of Texas a grade of C on its science curriculum. Can you comment on that and, you know, what you think needs to be done to improve mm-hmm. that?
Well, I think one of the main things that got the Texas State Board on the laughing stock of the United States track is that we were rewriting history. We were not letting the scholars we were not letting the scholars dictate what was going on in the books. I believe that science, I'm not a scientist. I would like a scientist who is a scholar who has spent his life doing that to write the books, and I believe that we should select books based on that, not based on my particular religion, whether I have one or not, not my particular political preference. So I would like to see that. As far as history, I know that there's been a lot of turmoil with the State Board in the past. The books that they adopted, the books that they didn't adopt, simply because they didn't necessarily like what the books said. And again, I'm not a scholar, but there are historians that are, and I'd like to, you know, adopt books based on that, not my own personal preferences.
Okay. I mean, you already anticipated the follow-up question I was going to ask
okay.
about history, but the board also recently voted not to spend money on textbooks for the to cover the new standards for the math tests that the legislature has mandated until the legislature has guaranteed the funding for them. What's that caused a little bit of controversy. What's your opinion on that?
I have a problem when our legislators are not funding education. They're not funding books. I think that's the new thing that's going on right now. I mean, I think daily schools are getting cut, and I have a problem with that. I don't see how they expect kids to learn. I understand that we're moving toward a virtual academy and we're moving toward virtual learning, but you know, I think that there's an overarching message here when we're continuing to cut education. I think that we're disenfranchising a large group of people by not educating them properly, and I would just like to see more equity in our schools, and I'd like to see schools funded properly.
Okay. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, moving towards more electronic textbooks, replacing, mm-hmm. you know, traditional paper textbooks with, you know, electronic materials. Mm-hmm. You know, the legislature has provided some funding and guidance for that, but, you mm-hmm. know, it's still up to the state board to work out how some of this is going to be done. What would you like to see done with electronic textbooks?
I think that electronic textbooks, and I think technology is only as good as its teachers. It's very sad because in education, a lot of times I hear teachers talk about, well, it's okay if the teacher doesn't know how to do things. The kids will teach them. Let the kids run with the technology. What ends up happening is that the teacher doesn't know what's going on, and neither does the kids. There's a lot of time that's just spent playing around. I teach a very high-tech course. At the Guthrie Center, we teach the highest technology that there is in the district, and we've been recognized in the state for teaching very high-tech courses. So I believe in technology. I use technology, but I'm very old world in the sense that I think that when kids are on a computer and they're reading a book, whether it's an iPad or their desktop or laptop, it doesn't really matter. There's just so many opportunities for distraction. I think, you know, some people will say, well, that's great. Let them be, you know, multitask, and they can do iChat at the same time that they're reading the book, at the same time that they're on Facebook. No, absolutely not. I teach technology. I know what's going on. I don't believe that. I think that kids need books. They need manipulatives. I think that they need to everybody be on the same page sometimes at the same time. But I also believe that, you know, since I teach a creative class, you know, sometimes kids need to move forward. But I think that there is a value in books, and I think it's just very dependent on the course. You know, on a math course, I don't teach math. I mean, I would have to leave it to the teachers. I mean, teachers know what's going on in the classroom. They know what they need. And I have a problem sometimes when the state doesn't necessarily include the opinions of teachers and the opinions of what's going on, you know, even in students in the classroom. And they just kind of think that they know how to handle everybody and throw everybody in the same fishbowl. If that makes sense.
Yes. This past year, the legislature passed a joint resolution, and the people of Texas voted on and passed a constitutional amendment that would direct the General Land Office to, direct some funds from the permanent school fund to the available school fund to help, you know, provide more money to education. Some people, such as Land Commissioner, opposed this on the grounds that we shouldn't be taking that money out of the permanent school fund. What was your opinion on that?
What would the money be used for if it's not going to be used for educational crisis like we have in Texas right now?
Well, the alternative that was suggested was that the legislature should have used the rainy day fund first.
Right. Well, right now we have a crisis in education, and we're cutting back, and classrooms are having to double up, and we've lost a lot of teachers, and so students have no teacher. They're having substitutes for an entire year sometimes. And the substitute doesn't have to be have a degree in that particular area, and sometimes they don't even have a degree at all. So my feeling is we have a crisis. We need to use some funding. If we don't use the rainy day fund for that, then where are we going to get funding from, and how are we going to handle this situation? We've lost thousands of teachers. In HISD, I think there was a quote recently with Gay Fallon who said that her teachers are having to teach to the center of the classroom because the classrooms are so overfilled that they can't get the attention of the kids on the side, so they're just teaching to the big mass in the middle. And I'm sorry, that's a problem. That's a problem.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that funding will solve everything, But the fact that we're not funding education and we're continuing to cut, and we cut $5.4 million last year?
Billion dollars.
And we're cutting more this year. That's a statement. And I think that that's a statement on where Texas is going and who is not receiving the education.
There's also been some discussion at the state board of allowing charter schools to get funding from the permanent school fund for capital purposes, for building their facilities. That's the thing that they have. I mean, actually, to get financing through the state board for capital projects. It's charter schools complain that that's often the hardest thing they have to do. There's been some support for it, but it's not gone forward. What's your opinion of that?
I think that we're looking to charter schools to solve the problems of everything. And, you know, I think that we have charter schools because our public schools are not working. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an opinion about that right now. I just like to know, get in there and find out more what the issues are, or excuse me, what the problem is with that particular case.
At a higher level, why do we even need a state board of education? Mm-hmm. You know, there have been proposals in the legislature to get rid of it and fold the functions into the Texas Education Agency, or, you know, give some of it back to the legislature. I mean, the ledge has, you know, mm-hmm. come down on or expanded the powers of the state board over time. You know, why in this day and age do we even need a separate elected body called the State Board of Education?
Well, that's a good point. But if we're going to have a State Board of Education, I'd like to be on it, because I'd like to be the representative of my students and what's going on in Texas, and who's selecting books and who is making decisions about what our kids are going to be learning and how they're going to be learning it, and what kind of credentials our kids need to have when they graduate from high school and college. So, yeah, that's a good question.
Okay. And we still don't know when this primary is going to be, as we talk today.
It's a mystery.
But when it happens, you do have two opponents in this race.
Mm-hmm.
Why should people vote for you in the Democratic primary to be the nominee for State Board of Education District 6 and not one of your opponents?
Okay. Well, without disparaging my opponents, I'm sure that they're honorable and trustworthy people. Otherwise, they wouldn't be running, and I think that in itself says a lot about them. But I'll say that it's because I am a teacher, and I have proven track record of excellence within my school district and within my school. I have worked with TEA to rewrite the curriculum, the TEKS that were currently in place for my career cluster, which is Arts and Audio Video Technology and Communications. I am bilingual. I know what it's like on both sides of the track. I know what it's like to work in a classroom. I've been here for 15 years. So I feel like I'm in touch with what kids need. And I have two sons that are grown. Didn't necessarily always follow the straight path, but they're there now. So I'm a mother, and I feel like I have something to offer.
Okay. Patty Quintana Nielsen, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Absolutely.